On the line, we have Elizabeth Downs, who is part of the Rainforest Action Group. And Rainforest Action Group has recently reported on a clash between protesters in northern Ecuador against BHP. Good morning, Liz.
Good morning.
Yeah, so, Liz, could you give us a bit of background on this campaign against BHP in northern Ecuador?
Sure. So I guess, I mean, the beginning of the issue is that in 2017, a large amount of Ecuador was concessioned to foreign mining companies, and quite a few of these mining companies are actually Australian, including BHP. They're covering, you know, there's indigenous lands involved, and there's, you know, a lot of pristine rainforests and other things. And in this particular northwestern part of Ecuador, known as INTAG, they've been fighting mining already for about 30 years. Various, you know, Chinese and Chilean mining companies, and they discovered that BHP had two large concessions over nine of their communities, and BHP obtained exploration licenses. The process for obtaining those licenses involved almost no community consent whatsoever. So they've been fighting, trying to keep company representatives from coming in for about 2 years, and it's just started to escalate in the past month. So, do you want me to go on?
Oh, yeah, sorry.
Yes, please.
Cool. On the 15th of December, BHP entered a community called Casarbamba, which is a very small community, and tried to hold a meeting. And some other environmental groups from around the area tried to enter the meeting because their community is involved as well, and the BHP representatives packed up their computer equipment and fled. The people at the meeting were sort of calling out, well, why are you running away? What have you got to hide? And the BHP came out with a statement saying, well, you know, this was just for community members, and we shouldn't have other people from other communities entering the meeting. As it turns out, they they're doing is they're holding meetings just with certain pro-mining people, which is a minority, and not inviting community presidents or the community council or, you know, anybody else, basically, trying to hold the meeting secretly. They've been going in and sort of giving Christmas gifts and lollies to pro-mining families for their kids.
Wow.
Doing all kinds of really kind of underhand methods for ingratiating their way in. And as soon as the this dodgy consent process is actually going against the securities law, which demands that companies notify on the stock exchanges where they're listed if there have been any problems with, you know, things like community resistance to their projects. So they are, you know, if any of this any resistance gets out, they're obliged to report it to the stock exchange, and they don't want to do that, so they're just going to run away. Anyway, so that was mid-December. That was closely followed by another incident in a nearby community where they again tried to enter. The doors were closed by the community. They were forced to stay and present their PR sort of stuff. Then they offered about 10 jobs to the community and offered some kind of funding support from an unspecified charity foundation, which they weren't game to, you know, they weren't game to actually mention the name of the charity foundation or any details or any information whatsoever about that or the jobs. The community got annoyed. A couple of weeks later, the communities of INTAG put up a roadblock. And again, when this was in a couple of weeks ago, on the 14th of January, three BHP reps tried to enter the community flanked by 30 police who tried to force their way through the roadblocks and again were pushed back. So there's been this sort of escalating organisation amongst the these 9 affected communities, and last week they actually had a meeting where about 350 people attended, and those people unanimously made a several resolutions for no mining in the Intag area. So yeah, basically it's where it's at right now.
So it really is obvious that, big mining companies seem to be able to get away with absolutely steamrolling community concerns. And this is exactly part of that whole idea that profit comes over, profit and progress in inverted commas, in commas, becomes the sort of the be-all, end-all, and community concerns are just these things that can be pushed away. How is the community feeling at the moment? Like, what are they going to do in light of what's happened?
Well, at last Saturday's meeting, they made a number of very strong resolutions, and one of those resolutions was, the top of the resolution list was there is to be no mining in Intag whatsoever, any mining company. They've got a demand for existing ordinance laws to be put in place for environmental protection. There are very strong existing laws in Ecuador at the constitutional level for protection of the environment and protection of communities and for a consultation for Indigenous rights, all that kind of thing. But at the ordinance level, these laws aren't always applied. They're waved aside far too easily in favour of extractive industry. So they want the current laws to be applied. They also want new ordinance laws to be applied, particularly to prior and informed consent. And they say that if these aren't applied, then they will basically do their own justice. They will stop the companies. They will continue to blockade. So, there's a number of other things that they want to establish a regional council to, an anti-mining, quite a strong sort of network of organisations so they can get a little bit stronger, because what they're getting now is a much more militarised presence from the government. That's pretty much where they're at.
So they're not backing down, which is great. Is there?
They're fantastic. They're amazing.
Yeah, I mean, we could learn a thing or two from them. Is there a real risk of danger to these activists? I mean, we know that in parts of the world we have activists being murdered, physically threatened, etc. What kind of situation, safety-wise, is there?
Well, there have been hot spots in Ecuador around mining already over the last 2 years in particular, or maybe last 5 years. We can see from other parts, in the headwaters of the Amazon in Shuar territory, it's one of the indigenous areas where they've had sort of a mining threat for about the past 5 years. They have had assassinations. They've had cover-ups. They've had major leaders have been found with their bodies floating in the river and that kind of thing. It hasn't been nice. And that's all been to push major mining projects through. So in terms of this area, who knows? There has been trouble with, one of the main things, this area is, once gold has been sort of, flagged in this area, they tend to get besieged with informal or illegal mining operations very quickly. And one of these issues happened in one of Gina Reinhart's concessions, quite close to the BHP one that we've been talking about last year. And this involved, a lot of militarization. There were, sort of drug cartels coming in over the border from Colombia. It was a complete mess. So it's very complicated. There's a lot of different ways in which this could go. It needs to be, monitored quite closely.
Yeah. And is there anything that the Australian community can do to support these activists? We're way over here, but, is there anything that we can do to help them in their struggle?
There's a few things. I mean, where it needs to be really taken is shareholder activism. So, looking at, in the case of BHP, they are obliged to report to their shareholders what's going on. You know, we went to BHP's AGM last year and asked awkward questions, and you know, BHP has this incredibly, you know, has this PR that's based all around environmental and social responsibility, and they're claiming to be the world's climate leader, and they want to be the world's biggest, you know, producer of renewables. So if people in Australia were to sort of understand how much, so it's not only shareholder, you know, where you invest, but also, you know, if you are heading for buying an electric car, for example, a lot of the copper that's going to make, you know, go to those, that kind of technology will be mined out of Ecuador, not necessarily by BHP, but by, you know, them and other companies. So there's that in the immediate situation. There's we are always looking for funding, because to hold community meetings, you know, to bring people in from far-flung parts of rural areas does cost money, and there needs to be catering. They need money to bring in sort of things like chief geophysicists in from Quito to. So we are running a fundraising campaign, and we're sending money to them pretty often. Also, there's a legal fight at the moment happening. It's not a BHP. It's still in the same area, but it's a gold mine that's just been opened by a state-owned company in Ecuador. And they are trying to hire some environmental lawyers to get this case up to the Constitutional Court. So there's always money. people can hop on our website, which is www.rainforestactiongroup.com. .org, sorry. And, yeah, I think that's – it's mainly kind of being aware, really. People are not often aware of what, you know, these companies are doing in Australia, not only in Australia, but also in particularly in developing countries with very vulnerable environments.
Mm. Yeah, so thanks very much, Liz. Do you have, like, any final comments you'd like to make for the program?
No, thanks for having me. I think that's pretty much it.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. We appreciate it.